Hello, friends, and welcome to our fourth episode of Godfident Next Generation Ministry TV show. I'm Greta with my host here.
I'm Lily.
I'm Victoria.
Imani.
And we're so glad that y'all joined us today on this episode of How Are Your Relationships? And kind of, we're going to be talking about and recapping what we've talked about in the previous three episodes. But we just, if you guys want to go ahead and say where you're from again, and just how old you are.
So I am from Tennessee, specifically Nashville, and I'm 20 years old.
I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I'm 15.
I'm from Alabama, and I'm 15.
And I'm also from Nashville, and I'm also 20. But we've just talked about such amazing topics and relevant to this day and age about how to have healthy boundaries, how to recognize when you've had an unhealthy relationship, or sometimes when you are the person that's the unhealthy one in the relationship. And today we wanted to kind of go over anything that we wanted to add to that and kind of going over what we talked about. But I also wanted to talk about today how our character in Christ is so built on the Word of God too. And like talking about our other episodes, we talked about how whoever you're hanging out with makes an impact on who you are. And so it matters what friend groups you're surrounding yourself with, and it also matters what media you're consuming. So I wanted to kind of talk about how we can pray for our relationships, how we can pray for our friends, and maybe what that looks like for you guys. So Lily, you wanna start?
So I think that praying for our relationships is super important. And I feel like one tool that some people use is when you don't know what to pray, if you have your prayer language, something that I do is I pray over my relationships in my prayer language, pray in the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically in the Bible, specifically I would say in Acts, after Jesus came to earth and he left, he said, I'm giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came down, he baptized people in the Holy Spirit. And just like water, they were also baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in heavenly language, which is a language that we don't understand and the enemy doesn't understand. But it's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us speaking directly to God. And so it's really powerful. And it's a tool that nobody else has because we all have our own way to speak to the Lord. And so for me, I think that it has been so fundamental because sometimes, you know, you can be praying in your prayer language and you have no idea what you're saying. And sometimes the Holy Spirit will give you an interpretation and you'll be like, wow, for the last hour I've been praying for this thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't find out until months later and you get a nudge like, this is what you were praying for. And so I think that it's really cool because a lot of times we think we know what we should pray for and we think we know what we need in a relationship, or we think we know who we need to be friends with. And really, Holy Spirit knows a lot better. And so if we're praying in the Spirit, we can ensure that like exactly what I need is what I'm praying for, or exactly what my friend needs is what I'm praying for. And so praying for our friends, praying for our relationships and that type of thing, it's important to pray in the Spirit. And I just want to encourage anyone who's listening who doesn't have their prayer language that it is accessible to every single human being who decides to give their life to Jesus and gets filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the next step, is whenever you say, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life, the Holy Spirit fills you. Mm-hmm. That's what the Word of God says. And so if you get in the Word, you'll realize, hey, the Holy Spirit is accessible to me. And if I let Him, He will speak through me in a heavenly language. And so if you don't have your prayer language and you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would encourage you to pray, pray to God for it. Be like, hey, I really want my prayer language, and see what happens. Just want to encourage you with that.
Yeah. I would say another thing that has to do with prayer is make sure that you pray sincerely and not just like because you feel obligated to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say that some people pray to check it off their list. And I used to do that until I realized how much I needed God. And then I felt like prayer was something so essential that I needed to do. And I still, since I'm not perfect, I still go days where I don't talk to God, and then I'll be like, feel convicted, then I go and talk to Him. And I feel like God should be so essential in our lives that it's just an everyday thing we do. And I would say that when you give God total control of your life, then it automatically goes into your relationships and how you treat other people. Because I feel like if you are focused more on the situation than the person who deals with it, which is God, I feel like sometimes we give ourselves too much credit. So I think that prayer should be guiding us instead of us trying to guide God to go behind us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's good.
So good.
I think it's like prayer is something that, what he said, it's like people need to check off a checklist and stuff like that. I feel like that we often pray for what we want. It's like, okay, you only pray to God when you want something. So I'm not saying, you know, like some people do that. Like, okay, I'm gonna pray to God because I really want, you know, some more money. I want a new car, I'm about to get evicted, or something like that. It's like, or just like, I'll pray to God because I wanna have better social skills, but we don't pray to God because it's something that we really need. And it's like we pray to God because we feel like, okay, we pray to him, like this is gonna happen. Sometimes God won't allow some things to happen because it's not from a good place of our heart.
Yeah.
And it's not from like a place where it's like, I need you, God. It's from a place, okay, like just, can you just for me quick? Can you just like, you know? And it's like, we have to like learn to pray to like, because it's worshiping him. It's being in his presence. And it's like, in that moment, like we're praying because he is our heavenly father. Like we come to him for everything. Just the same way I would go to my mom if I broke something of hers. Or like, hey mom, I kind of broke your glass or something. It's kind of like, we have to come to God in just a yearnful and a vulnerable place instead of coming to God just for like, just because we feel like, you gotta check it off, or like I really want something in the moment, and just appreciate him, and just realize that like he, like we, like the reason we, what is like the meaning of prayer, and really just understand that like prayer is more than just asking God for what you want. It's being in his presence, learning things from him, and like sometimes we get things because of prayer, and it's like I pray because like I just pray because I need you in my life, and I need your spirit in me, and stuff like that. And then once that happens, our life can change. It's not just for something, but it's just like it's for an everyday piece. It's not just to get something.
Mm, that's beautiful. Every single thing that y'all said was so vital. It's just kind of what I was hearing is relationship. Not just are we talking about relationships with each other, but we're talking about relationships vertically with our Heavenly Father. And I love what you were talking about with like praying in the Spirit is so vital. Like I also have my prayer language. And kind of encouraging those that are watching, and like Lily was saying, like it's a gift that is unique to each and every one of us, because I believe that Jesus's love for us is unique. He loves every single one of us, but his love for us is unique. We're not better than each other, but his love for us is special in just that unique way. And I encourage you, it takes understanding and wisdom to a deeper level compared to what you have maybe your wisdom from, you could say, school or life or from your parents. It's like this heavenly wisdom that you have in discernment, and it helps you understand your Bible more too, because it's literally like the Holy Spirit's voice that connects your heart and your mind to the Word through your Spirit. So that's so beautiful. Kind of going off of that, what for you is the difference between your relationship with Christ and your relationship with your friends and your family? Like, how can you explain that to somebody that maybe doesn't understand that?
Wow. So I think that it's definitely, my relationship with Christ has definitely changed a lot over the years. But something that I recognized is that in the past, just walking with Christ, there's been times in my life where I've given the secret place to my friends and not to him. And something that God wants, like you were just saying, is a relationship with us. Like, and not only does he want a relationship, he doesn't want to be second, he doesn't want to be third, he doesn't want to be fourth. Like, he wants to be number one, but he wants to be the only one. Like, he wants to be the one that is on the idol. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he wants to be the only person that we're beholding, the only person that we're looking to. He doesn't want to be like one of the options. You know what I mean? And I think that for a lot of people, they see God as like a different category of their life, where they'll like have their mom and their friend, their best friend, their boyfriend. And God is one of the categories where God wants to be everything to us. And like, he wants to be like the everything. And then he wants everything else to flow from that, if that makes sense. So I think that it's really important to make sure that you're feeding that relationship first before anything else. And I know that that's like not super common in our generation, even among Christians in our generation. It's not really common to like have Jesus be number one. And sometimes it's common to say, yeah, God's my number one, but like if you look at somebody's life, you can tell like that is not your number one. Like, you care about a lot of other things before you care about Jesus. And so it's important to have the secret place which the Bible talks about having a secret place with God, where it's kind of just what a relationship is, where, like, say I want to be friends with Greta, but I never talk to her. I'm not going to be friends with Greta. I'm not going to know anything about her. I'm not going to know the sound of her voice. I'm not going to know how she looks. But when we spend time with Jesus because we want to be his friend, when we sit down every day and open the word and just talk to him and close our eyes and just listen or just worship him, like Imani was saying, we can develop a relationship and learn what his voice sounds like and what he looks like and like what his motives are or what his character is like, and we get to know him better. So I think for me, that's what differentiates my relationships with friends and Jesus, because he's number one and he gets my time and my affection. And when I can notice the scales are kind of tipping where they shouldn't be tipping, I notice I need to refocus to my relationship with Jesus.
That reminds me kind of what we were talking about in one of our episodes about just like how important it is what your first is in the morning.
Yeah.
And for me, I notice when I don't read my Bible, like it could be for literally like 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever you have time-wise, for me before work, you know, and I recognize like how my character is throughout the day when I have not read my Bible. It makes a difference.
Yeah.
Like I'll be short with people or just anxious or angry, quick to act out on my flesh, which would be like, you know, my feelings or my emotions or just to say things that I wouldn't normally say.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not filling your heart and your mind with the truth, you're more prone to listen to lies and believe those as the truth, you know? So that's so good. What about you?
I would say that the main difference between God and our friends would be where you go to for your satisfaction. And I say that because some people go to other people for satisfaction, fulfillment, and they don't even take into consideration that people hurt people and people can lie. And then there's God, who's perfect, and people will hear about him for the first time and be like, how do people not realize that God is always the better choice? And then you go through life, and things happen and feelings happen, and then all of a sudden you realize that your flesh has been going the total wrong way, and then you say, how have I gotten so far? When the clearest answer is always Jesus. But I feel like the easiest answer is always the hardest to get to, because there's so many distractions and things like that. So I would just say the difference would be, where do you go for fulfillment? Like when you're feeling low, when you're even bored, like where do you go? Do you go to your Bible? Do you go to social media? Do you go to prayer? Do you go to gossip? Like I would just say, where do you go for your satisfaction?
So good.
He says really good. And I feel like, you know, sometimes with God and with people, we kind of pin him on a back burner. It's like, okay, we go to him for like, when we want something, it's like that. We don't really go to him as our first, you know, our first thing that we think of or our first thing we think about in the morning. It's kind of like, we like, oh yeah, God, I'm Christian. I'm like, I do all this stuff. Like, you know, I go to church or I go to Wednesday services and stuff like that. But it's like, he's not actually a part of your life. And it's like, where we, you know, we put on social media or stuff like that. Like, you know, I'm, you know, a Christian, I'm a devoted, stuff like that. But we don't realize that, like, what we're doing and what we're, you know, stuff that we're going through, we aren't going to God for it. We're like, we're going through people, we're going to like, or like even just our own comfort. Like sometimes if I feel sad, like, I'll be like, oh, I'll watch a TV show, but like I'm not going to God. Like if I, because that's not going to fix anything. That's just going to give me a short-term happiness, a short-term like, oh, okay, well that fixed it for a little bit, but it's not actually going to fix the problem itself. So it's like, we have to go to God and we have to like put him at the forefront of our life, like holding his stand through the entire thing, because like, you know, God says like he has us under a wing, and like sometimes we kind of just step out of it and we don't really even realize that we do it subconsciously. It's like we're just going through life like every day the same, or like just like, we're just doing what we usually do and kind of not paying attention. And God wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to yearn him. He wants us to want him. And I feel like sometimes we don't, like we're not paying attention. It's like when you hear a whiny baby, like, okay, just shit, you know, be quiet. Like you don't listen to him. It's like he's right there. He's going to help us with all the answers that we need, all the things we're going through. And I think we often say, oh, it's out. Like, oh, why isn't God helping me? Like, why isn't I feel like I'm going through all this stuff and all this things, and I'm not getting any help. It's because like you're not. He has the answers for you, but you're not listening to him. You're not pitting him and like giving him like I'm gonna go to you, God. Like. Go to him with everything, and I feel like that's kind of what it is.
That's so true. So if it's like with our healthy relationships, you know, when we have that communication back and forth, and you like you were saying, like, we're listening, you know, we're actively listening, we're not, like, you know, we all struggle with, like, zoning out and stuff, but, like, you know, if we try to pay attention that much to our friends, to show them that we care, to show them that we listen and we love them, why wouldn't we do the same with our Heavenly Father,
right,
with the one that calls us friend? You know, He wants us to yearn for Him. He wants us to adore Him. He wants us to behold Him and become like Him.
Yeah.
You know, He wants our character to grow deep in His love and in His fruit. And speaking of which, I have a scripture for you guys in 1 Corinthians. And I kind of like to use this scripture whenever I know we're not talking about boys today, but whenever I'm talking to a boy, I put his name in here just to try to say, like, it's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, sorry. And, you know, it's just like, it's like love is patient. So I put so-and-so's name in, like, Frank is patient, whatever his name is, you know. But then I also put my own name in there because we were talking about sometimes we're the ones in an unhealthy place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to know, okay, well, how do I get out of this?
Yeah.
And it goes back to the Word. And where's your character, and who have you been hanging out with, and what media have you been consuming? What movies are you watching that are influencing how you're acting or reacting to people? So let me just read this for you. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, and it never ends. Which obviously, like, perfect love is only found in Jesus. But this is a model of His character. And if, you know, we're trying to be like our Heavenly Father, we can go to models like this, right? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. So I just encourage you, like, if you want to memorize that, put that on, like, your bathroom mirror or whatnot. That is a huge deal, and that's how you can start to recognize your own fruit, but also other people's fruit. So put their name in there and be like, are they in a healthy place? Find a scripture in the Bible that's a model and put their name in it and be mm-hmm. like, oh, that'll be pretty eye-opening or a little confirming. You know what I mean? So how in y'all's relationships do you communicate in healthy ways, and how do you recognize when they're not healthy? Kind of recapping on our last episodes.
So I think the thing that I always say about how I can identify if a relationship is, like, healthy or not is, I mean, we talk about fruit. I mean, we've talked about that in the other episodes, and you just mentioned it. But, I mean, in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about you will know them by their fruit, about mm-hmm. false prophets. And obviously, that's a little different than your friend. Mm-hmm. But the principle is still true that you can tell what's going on the inside by what's going on the outside. And sometimes, like we talked about in the other episode, it's a little bit, it has to do with waiting. Sometimes you wait a little while to see the fruit. And I also think of Psalm 1, which talks about, like, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the, you know, the counsel of the wicked or the way of sinners, which is, like, what we've been talking about, like, who you hang out with is what you become.
Yeah.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. So, like, mm-hmm. if we're filling ourselves with the Word of God, we're like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, mm-hmm. which yields fruit in its season. And I feel like that recaps so well what we've been talking about all day is, like, in the right season, in the right time, we're going to yield the fruit that God put in us when we were formed in our mother's womb. And that fruit is going to happen when we're planted firmly in God and when we're planted in the Word and we're not surrounding our inner circle with people who are going to drag us away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we can ask, like, does this person bring me closer to the Lord or do they bring me apart from the Lord? And there's always an answer. It's either, like, one or the other. There's no, like, you know, well, I mean, sometimes they help, whatever. I mean, sometimes we have to, like, look at our relationships and be honest and be like, you know, this person is a Christian even, but I feel like after I spend time with them, I feel like I'm farther from the Lord. I feel like consistently they're pulling me away. And maybe it's a two-way street too. Maybe it's not like they're bad for me. Maybe it's like, hey, I'm bad for them too. Like, what's going on in our lives right now is not, like, it just doesn't work. It is not working. Even though we both love Jesus, we're not supposed to be in a relationship right now. And sometimes that's the way it is. And so it's just important to look at fruit, I think, and to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
so good.
One thing for me, I would say, is kind of adding on to that, but I think that God usually gives us warnings before we step into a new relationship.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of, like, in scary movies, whenever it's that do not enter sign, and then something in them says, I should go here. I'm just thinking, sometimes God gives us warnings, and sometimes they're subtle, but sometimes they're very clear.
Mm.
And sometimes we still want to just disregard it and be like, we'll just see what happens. And then we end up in a place that we didn't think we would end up, even though we knew that that wasn't where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like that with people, sometimes it's with that personally. I would just say that when it comes to communication, sometimes God's communicating things, and it can be so clear after it's too late. And I think it's just one thing to think about, like, how far will you go until you're too far? And I'm just saying, just stay close to God and have good communication with God, and because He will give you the right people and put people in your life. And sometimes He'll take people out, but you have to be willing to just go with the changes that God makes for you.
Yeah. And I just want to encourage anybody that feels like maybe you don't know God, maybe you do know God, and maybe you've walked away. And you know what? As Christians, we drift sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes we just allow what we do to get a little lax, and we just kind of, you know, start excusing little things that we wouldn't have regularly, like, you know, or we'll start to recognize we're not reading our Bible as much, or we're not praying as much, and we're arguing, and we're complaining, and we're just really working in our flesh, you know, and feeding into that. Like you said, like, there's the warning side, but sometimes you just ignore it so much you become numb, and you're not as sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice. And that's what Lily was talking about, was being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it takes measures like fasting. Sometimes it takes measures like quieting yourself and getting away from distractions. Put your phone away. You know, that's a huge one. But really just making sure that you're able to hear the Lord's voice, and recognize, like, if you have drifted or walked away, that the Lord will never turn you away.
Yeah.
That His arms are still wide open.
Yes.
To anybody. That if you would just believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says that you will be saved. So I just wanted to encourage anybody that was listening and feeling discouraged, like, you're not on the same level as any of us, or you're just too far gone. It's not true. It's a lie. We are just like you. We drift. We fall short. We fail. We walk away, and we come back. You know, whatever it is that you feel disqualifies you isn't who you are. Your failures don't define you, and don't have any power to rule over your future. I want you to know that Jesus loves you, and that He has plans for your future and hope for your future, and that there is a way out of cycles of sin. There is a way back to His path, Lord. There is a way back to just having the character of Christ, and having His mind, and taking captive thoughts, and away from anxiety and depression and all of those things, which we'll talk about more resources at the end of this. But I wanted to ask another question about just like boundaries, and again, with your identity, and how when people overstep your boundaries, and maybe it's somebody that you really value their opinion, how do you respond to that? How is your identity not shaken in that?
Oh my gosh. Well, that's a really hard question, because I think in our generation, just being a young woman, it's really hard, because we're looking around constantly, and the world is constantly throwing things at us, and they're not all bad. It's like, you know, we love fashion, we love cooking, we love different things, like how to do our makeup, how to do our hair. But when those things are like continually filling our minds, it can be so hard to not compare to other people. And so I think that it's really important with our identity for it to be rooted, like you were saying, in the Word. Like, what's the first thing we do when we wake up? You know, it's just important that it all comes back to Jesus, and He's the number one thing that we're beholding. Because, and I mean, I know that this, it sounds preachy, but the reason why we're all saying this is because we have lived this out, where we've realized, like, hey, I've searched and I found. There's no one like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like, I've looked in other places too. I've looked in every area of life.
And I've realized, like, every single time it's going to fail if it's not Jesus. And it's not because, yeah, it's not because we think that we're, like, so great and whatever. It's because we think he is so great. And we're like, please listen, because this is the only solution. Like, we can look in other areas of life. We can try to get satisfaction in our identity from how we look or from what boys think of us or from, you know, if we have a social media presence and things like that. But none of it is going to fulfill us like Jesus does. Mm-hmm. And our identity has to be rooted in that, because if our identity is in how we look, then, like, you know, in a couple of years, like, say, you know, you in 20 years when you've got kids or something and you look different, your identity is shattered. Or say it's in a boy, and then that boy, you know, doesn't like you or breaks up with you, then it's shattered. Or if it's in a record deal and then it falls through, your identity is shattered. And so the only thing that's like a solid rock is Jesus. And so that's why our identity has to be in Jesus, because, like, quite literally everything else is going to fail. Our friendships, even in our family, if our identity is in our family, like, oh my goodness, that is not going to last forever. I mean, Jesus is going to last forever. And it's so important to have values in your friendships and your family, but we cannot put our identity in people, because we know that that is not a long-lasting foundation. It doesn't last forever. So
that's so good.
I'm just going to say this short and sweet. Your identity is not your reputation.
Yeah.
I would say your identity is not how you look or what people think of you or people's opinions on you. Your identity is who you are, who God said you are. Mm. And your reputation can change, but your identity doesn't change, because your identity is the same. You are a child of God. Whether you know it or acknowledge it, your identity does not change. It's not your reputation.
Mm-hmm. So good.
I kind of feel like, you know, both of them said, it's kind of like, through all life, we're going to go through people who don't like us. Not every human being is going to like us. Mm-hmm. Not every person's going to like us. We got to realize that we have to find our identity in God and be comfortable with who we are and what skin we are in, and just how we look and stuff like that. Like, just love our natural self, that we don't compare to other people, because you never know what the other person is going through. That other person could, like, when you see someone on social media and they look really pretty, you're like, oh my God, I want to look like that. But you don't know what she has to go through to look like that. You don't know what she puts up with, what she feels about other people, how she feels about you. Or we just have to realize that we are only going to be happy if we put our identity in God and not on how others think about us, because at the end of the day, not everyone's going to love us. Not everyone's going to like us. Some people might hate us. And some people hate people for being Christian. So it's like, it doesn't matter, you know, if we try to be perfect all around and, you know, fake who we are, it's not going to work out. So
Your identity is only found in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's just the theme I'm hearing here is, you know, it's a relationship. It's your identity. He is your all. He's your first. He's your love. And we just want to encourage you in that, to know who you are, that you are a child of God. Yeah. You are seen, you are known, you are loved, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He chose you, he knows you even if you don't know him. And he says that you're precious and honored in his eyes, and he loves you more than you could ever know or imagine. We just wanted to thank you guys for joining us today on Godfident Moving Forward Ministries. Once again, I'm Greta, and these are my lovely hosts. And there's more free resources for you if you wanted to look deeper, if you wanted more information about this, at godfident.org. That's godfident.org for more of your free resources.